saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their hair singed, neither their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. That's a miracle. I said, that's a miracle. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who have sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Let the church say amen. Amen, DJ. Father, we magnify your name. Thank you that you're with us. Not just anybody, the Lord of hosts. The one who commands all of the angelic beings is with us. Father, as your vessel, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. And use the Bible as you have time and time again. We love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Talking about this clash between culture and Christianity. How many of you experienced that clash this week? Would you raise your hand? It's just so vivid. It's so intense. And yet it's where we live. It is what God has given us as our lot here on planet Earth. Christianity, following the Lord Jesus Christ, not following a set of guidelines or rules, but following a person. Aren't you glad that what we do, the one we serve, is not based on a bunch of things, it's based on a somebody. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, who gave himself for us, that he might purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So here we are in Daniel chapter 1, experiencing the clash. They're presented with the world's way to eat the world's food, to drink the world's wine, to go the world's style. And they say no, they stand for God. They come out 10 times better. Their flesh is fatter and their minds are sharper and their performance is so much better, showing that God always wins. He never loses a battle. Listen to me now. Listen to me. You can stand with God and win. Amen. Daniel chapter number 2, the king has a dream. He doesn't know what he dreamed. He can't remember what he dreamed, and he can't tell what the dream means. He tries with all his magicians and astrologers, all his professionals. He gets no answer, no success. There is a man who can interpret the dream. I tell you why he can do it. That man's connected to Almighty God. He answers the dream. He shows Nebuchadnezzar that God is the one that interprets dreams. Never takes credit for himself. Never gets the big head. Never acts like he can do it without God. He's a testimony of God. He's a catalyst for God. He's a symbol of God. He points people to God. And that's what Daniel shows. Daniel chapter 3, there's an image that's set up. 90 foot high, 9 foot wide. It's mammoth. It's huge. It's placed in the center. It's ordered that everyone in attendance must bow down. All the rulers, all the leaders, all the counselors, all the sheriffs, all the captains, all the people should bow down. It's just the way we do things in Babylon. It's just the way things happen in Babylon. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's bowing down. Everybody's worshiping. The music is going to play. Just go with the program. Just follow the order of service. Just march to the beat the way that they say things should be done. This is what Nebuchadnezzar is telling them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is right where we're living today. The world is saying, just get in line. Just get in line. Just march to the beat. Just do it the way we do it. Just say it the way we say it. Just act the way we act. Just follow along with our protocol. Why? This is the way that the world is set. There's only one problem. There's only one problem. We have another master. Come on, I need more people to understand and agree. We have another master. See, we already have a beat to march to. We already have a plan to march to. We already have a word to march to. And here's what the world says. You can't reject sin, and you can't have victory over sin, and you can't say no to sin. And the world is even saying sin is not sin, because after all, everybody's doing it. Everybody's liking it. Everybody's like, everybody is that way. So just march that beaten. And yet the Bible says, no. God has an answer. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word. Listen, somebody says, we're in a dark world. How in the world are we going to live for God in a dark world? The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Listen, when you can't see where to go, shine the word. Amen. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. I was reading in my devotions this week in the book of John. We talk about the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We really shouldn't call that the Lord's Prayer. That's the model prayer. You say, well, Jesus prayed it. He didn't pray it because he needed to. He prayed it to show us how to pray. You say, how do you know? Because he made this statement, forgive us our debts. He didn't need to ask forgiveness for anything. So he's telling us how to pray. When you pray, pray with adoration, our Father. Amen. When you pray with confession, forgive us our debts. When you pray with thanksgiving, thank God for what he's done. And then pray with supplication. Ask him for what you need. Acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. You say, well, if that's not the Lord's Prayer, where's the Lord's Prayer? John 17, when God is talking to his Father. And listen to what he said. He said, Father, glorify them like you glorified me. You know what I like about John 17? Jesus prayed for all those that followed him way back then. But he also said, Lord, I pray for all those that will come to me later. In John 17, guess what? Jesus was praying for you and me. Amen. And here's what he said. Said in that prayer, John 17:17, sanctify them by thy word or by thy truth, for thy word is truth. What's the word sanctify? To set apart, to make special, to purify, to make holy. Jesus says they don't get sanctified by learning poems. They don't get sanctified by just attending church. They don't get sanctified by just being born in a Christian family. They don't get sanctified by getting baptized. They don't get sanctified by speaking in tongues. They don't get sanctified by practicing religion. They don't get sanctified by turning over a new leaf. They get sanctified by the word. Listen to me, beloved. Listen to me. If you want to go somewhere in your Christian life, you don't hear anything I say this morning. What you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. Every spiritual decline begins with a distance from the word of God. You've got to love this book. You've got to read this book. You've got to study this book. Study the show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What do you mean not to be ashamed? When somebody asks the Bible question, you have to put your head down and say, give me a few minutes, let me call my pastor. No. You study the word of God. You know what that means? You've got to dig into the word of God. Don't just read it, but study it. Find out who wrote it. Find out what it's about. Find out cross references. Find out other passages that apply to it. Find out the circumstances around it. Find out where the writer was writing from. Find out the audience to whom he was communicating. Study the word of God. Study it like you study the game. Study it like you study sports. Study it like you study politics. Study it like you study your job. Study it like you got a love letter from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Read the whole thing. Listen to me. If he wrote Genesis to Revelation, don't you think you ought to read all of it? Get on a plan. It's early in the year. And get on a Bible plan. They're all over the internet. Listen to me. No excuse to not get in the Bible. We got all audio Bibles. And we got all kinds of Bibles on our phone. We can listen to them. We can read them. There are all kinds of one-year Bibles and Bible plans. Listen, you ought to determine in 2022, I'm going to read through the entire Word of God. But Pastor, if I read through all of it, I'm not going to understand all of it. Listen to me. It won't be the first thing in life you don't understand. Come on now. Hey, listen to me. You didn't understand your husband when you first married him very well. Some of you say, I've been married to him 20 years. I still don't understand it. Well, guess what? He don't understand you either. But I tell you what, you understand him more in year two than you did in year one. You understand him more in year five than you did in year three. You understand him more in year 10 than you did in year five. Hey, let me tell you something. You read the Bible through in 2022. Listen to me. You'll understand God more in 2023. Come on now. The more you talk to him, the more you'll understand his language. The more you get comfortable around him, the more you hear his voice, and you'll begin to respond to him. So we understand the precious truths of the word of God. We are sanctified through the truth set apart. So here this image is set up, and here everybody's bowing down. And here the world says you should go along with
us, and yet they don't. And here come the threats. You're going to get punished. You're going to get thrown in the fiery furnace. It didn't scare them. They had a biblical principle, and they stood on it. They had a conviction, and they wouldn't move on it. Listen to me. You better know what you believe before you get challenged on it, because when the challenge comes, it's too late to try to figure out what you believe. You got to know what you believe. You got to know where you stand. It may not be popular. It may not be progressive. It may not be what fits in with the passions of the world. But you stand with God. These fellows are a microcosm of how God deals with those who stand on his word. And they're thrown in the fiery furnace. And we watched this as they came with established character and extreme courage and expressed confidence and emphatic conviction. The eternal companion showed up in the fire with the three boys. But guess who showed up with them? Somebody said, Jesus showed up. The Son of God was walking with them. And ladies and gentlemen, when you're in the fire, if you get thrown in the fire for walking with Jesus, guess what? He'll walk with you when you're in the fire. And so last week, the eyewitness and characters. Nebuchadnezzar's looking in. I threw in three, I see four. I threw in three bound, I see four loose. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. We asked the question last week, how do you know who Jesus was? There's just something about him that identifies himself. There's just something about him that makes him different. There's just something about him that makes him exclusive. And he looked down. Listen, this was perhaps the most pagan ruler on planet Earth. He was powerful. He was pompous. He was prideful. He was self-sufficient. You remember later God's going to have to take Nebuchadnezzar and put him down and crawl on the ground like an animal, eat grass to show him who God is and that he's not the big king and that God is. So we understand this man just put up an image to be worshipped. We understand that this guy had no desire for God, and yet he looks into the fiery furnace. Listen to me. He saw God. Listen, the most powerful testimony of Jesus that Nebuchadnezzar ever saw was watching people that knew Jesus walk with Jesus through the fire. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks a lot louder than your talk talks. You say, Pastor, I don't even know what you said. Say amen because you trust me. I said your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks a lot louder than your talk talks. If that confuses you, let me say it to you this way. You can say you love Jesus. You can quote you love Jesus. You can post you love Jesus. You can shout out you love Jesus. You can testify you love Jesus, and everybody will hear you, but they will hear you louder when you show you love Jesus, when you walk you love Jesus, when you live you love Jesus. You can say you love him on Sunday morning, but show them that you love them on Monday morning. You can say you love them in the choir loft, but show them that you love them in the work cubicle. You can say you love them at the youth conference, but show you love them in the public school classroom. You can say you love them when everybody else around you says you love them, but show you love them when everybody around you is condemning you for your stand. When the heat gets turned up, when your money gets funny, and when your friends get few, and when circumstances get dismal, when your lights get turned off, when you can't pay your bills, and when you lose a loved one in the middle of a pandemic, when you can't come to church, and when people are laughing at you, when your testimony is maligned, and when you lied on and can't defend yourself, and when people think you're crazy because you walk with God, and when your family members think you're caught up in a cult because you love Jesus as much as they love things, that's when you've got to walk with him. That's when you got to show them he's not just real on the mountaintop. He's not just real when everything's going well. He's not just good in church when I'm waving my hand. He's good when I'm broke. He's good when I'm laughed at. He's good when nobody stands with me. He's good when I'm going through a trial. He's good when I don't know when there's light at the end of the tunnel. He's good when I'm praying and I don't get an answer. A preacher friend of mine, I told him I was praying for him this week, and he told me about George Mueller, who was one of the great leaders of the past, and they said he had a prayer list, and he would write them down, and they said it was believed, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but maybe some 60-some people, when George Mueller died, that were still on his prayer list that were not saved. Somebody found that list, and within the next 20 or so years or so, All of those people that were on that list trusted Christ as their Savior. I'm saying God was still answering the prayer. That man walked so good with God that God was answering his prayer even after he was dead. Listen to me. You don't quit praying because God doesn't answer. You don't stop praying because it doesn't seem like he's coming through. You don't get tired and get impatient. You don't finish your Snickers and quit praying. No. You keep on praying. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. You don't just pray for an answer. So you pray because you're talking to the one who has the answer. And even if he doesn't come through, you pray because you know he can. Even if he doesn't answer, you pray because you know he's able. Even if you don't get what you ask for, you talk to him because it's fun to talk to somebody who can do it, even if he doesn't. Come on now. You got to walk with God through the fire. Why? Because when the eternal companion is seen, it brings about effected change. Where are the believers that want to see change enough in the world to live in such a way that it happens? I'm not against marching. Some great folks of the past and of the present have marched against wrong and for right. And I'm not against marching, but I'm against if marching is all you gonna do. Come on now. If all you got is a sign and a march, don't expect that to bring about change. Did you hear me now? When the march is over, you got to keep walking. When your sign gets stepped on by your family members, you got to keep showing who Jesus is. See, when you don't have a sign, you got to let your light so shine, amen, that others may see your good work. So effective change, effected change comes about. That's the difference between affect and effect, A-F-F-E-C-T. To affect means to influence in such a way. To effect means to literally bring about change, to make something happen. Effected change. These fellows never marched. They never protested publicly, not to say that they would have been wrong. They never got up on a soapbox. They never blasted it out loud. Listen, they just kept living and doing right even when the stakes were high. And into the fire they go. And once he noticed that it's Jesus in the fire, look at verse 26. Then, everybody say then. Something's going to happen after you stand for God. Come on now. Everybody's saying what? Listen to me. If you don't do the what, you ain't going to get to then. The then. Some Christians won't walk long enough to see the then. Well, nobody agrees with me. Nobody likes me. Nobody's paying attention to me. I'm losing friends. Nobody understands what I'm going to do. Listen to me. Hang in there. Jesus understands. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire, got up closer to it and spake, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. What'd you say? You servants of the what? Most High God. Do you remember verse 17? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. This is what they said to Nebuchadnezzar. But I want you to notice what Nebuchadnezzar said to them to elicit that response in verse number 15, last phrase. He says, if you fall down and worship the image, which I've made well, last statement, but if you worship not, you should be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fire furnace. And look what he said. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Look up here. The world is asking, who is your God? You're trying to sit down for 5 hours and explain it to him. Listen to me. Sometimes you could do more walking with God in 5 minutes than you can talking in 5 hours. See, they got to see it where they live. They got to see, there are people that may not understand my sermon that I'm preaching right now, but they're going to understand what they see you do for 8 hours tomorrow. And the amazing thing about this story is in verse number 15, Nebuchadnezzar asked the question, and in verse number 26,
He answers his own question.
Listen to me. You live for God well enough, you'll have lost people asking questions and getting their own answers from how you live. Who is that God that shall deliver you? By verse number 26. The God of the Most High God has delivered you. Come forth. Notice what he says in verse number 26. Come forth. This is what I call a contrasting action. A contrasting action. What's the contrasting action to? Verse number 19. He commanded it to be heat seven times hotter. Verse 20. Command the most mighty men to cast them. You see that? Cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Now watch this now. Here's what living for God in the midst of the fire will do. It will cause a contrasting action out of people. Watch this now. The same people that were throwing you in will be the people that are bringing you out. Have you ever lived for God long enough to turn your enemies to your friends? Come on. Well, they just ain't gonna never like me. Listen to me, you live for God long enough, they may do better than like you. They might respect you. Amen. Isn't it amazing for when the coworker that told he couldn't stand you the most is the same coworker asking you to pray for him? Why in the world would someone that said they can't stand you ask you to pray for him? They saw Jesus show up. See, you got to learn that people are watching you even when your fire is not burning them. Sometimes even when they're the ones that threw you into the fire, they're trying to find out if the God you were posting on Facebook actually shows up in the fire. If the God you were talking about on your desk and the signs you got up in your house, if he, here's the contrasting action. Instead of throwing you in, I'm bringing you out. Here is the clear awareness. Verse number 27. The princes, governors, captains, counselors gathered together, saw these men. Hey, let me tell you something. Didn't I tell you everybody likes to watch a fire? Now listen, it'd be great if Nebuchadnezzar saw the testimony. It got even better than that. Not just Nebuchadnezzar. Look at everybody. Princes, governors, captains, counselors gathered together. Listen to me. You thought watching people get thrown in was entertaining. Watching the people that get thrown in not get burned up is even more entertaining. Listen to me. You think people are entertained by watching you get persecuted? I'll tell you what will entertain them more. Watching persecution not destroy you. Now, somebody in the building is going, Pastor, it seems like every time I go through trials, people gather around and they watch me and they're staring at me and they're looking at me and they're talking about me. And I just feel like all these eyes on me are going through trials. And I feel like my enemies, listen to me, my enemies are all standing around me and enjoying me struggle and enjoying me go through trials and enjoying me get persecuted. Hey, let me tell you something. If they enjoy you getting destroyed, if they stay for the whole show, they're not only going to see you get destroyed, they're going to see you get delivered. Come on now. And I'm saying, if they've got to hang in long enough to see you get delivered, you've got to hang in long enough for God to deliver you. And sometimes people don't like eyes on them. Listen to me. By the way, you young men want to get into ministry. You don't like eyes on you. Wait till you get in the ministry. Everybody's watching what you do. Every move and everything that happens in your life. Hey, the best thing to do, if you got an audience, don't complain about the audience. Give them something to look at. Give them something to look. Listen, you're never going to see perfection, but I hope you'll see progression. Amen. You're never going to see anybody that's flawless, but help you see somebody that's faithful. Amen. You'll never see someone that's sinless, but hope you see one that's learning to sin less. Amen. And determined by the grace of God. Give them something to look. Listen to me. You don't have to turn on new Christianity when you go through the fire. You just got to sustain old Christianity. You got to keep walking with God through the trials, through the difficulties, through the tough times. And everybody's going through tough times. Everybody's going through some kind of trial. And we're all facing something, whether it's physical or emotional or mental or spiritual or financial. We're all going through trials. But let me tell you something. I'm glad that the God I serve, that they sang about, that Bethany sang about, that we've been singing about, that we've been praying to. I'm glad that the Jesus that we serve is not limited. See, you go to the store, you try to buy a COVID test, they run out. You try to, the government going to give us masks, we wonder when they're going to come. You know, you're ordering stuff, now you go to grocery stores and they're out of it. Let them say it's going to snow. Ain't no bread, ain't no milk. You can't find nothing but low-fat stuff, you know, because everybody's gone and there ain't even no snow on the ground. Imagine what they're doing where there's a blizzard. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you go to the grocery store and people run. Good stuff never lasts all the time. Eventually, it runs out. Remember when Popeyes had their first sandwich? Remember when it first came out with that sandwich? And you know it because all y'all was running to get it. So how you know, Pastor? Because I was. Amen. Gaining weight while I was in the line. But it was good, wasn't it? I mean, and I had certain Popeyes I went to because some of them had fresh sandwiches and some of them had ones been sitting in that heater for a long time. And I mean, no, Popeye's good, but it's terrible if it ain't fresh. Amen. Amen. Not in the words of the Bible, terrible. In the words of Charles Barkley, terrible. All right? And the most frustrating thing in the world is get the taste for something, to want it, and to wait for it. I remember they opened a brand new soul food restaurant. I think Brother Jefferson was one told me about it. And it was out that way. Man, they opened a brand new soul food restaurant. I got the family in the car. We ain't going to cook tonight. We're going to ride all the way out there. Rode out there about 45 minutes, line all the way out the building. Food looking so good on there. And then we get up, pull up, wait up to the line. We out of food. How you going to run out of food on the grand opening? And in the next week, wasn't it, Carl? They shut down. We didn't do our homework. We wasn't ready to open. Hey, listen to me. Just because you cook a good meal at home don't mean you ready to open a restaurant. Come on, somebody tell me, preach. You understand? Listen, what you bake for five people may not be good for 500. See, and see, if you can open a restaurant with good recipes, but if it's grandma's recipe, grandma can't cook for no 50 people. You know, and I went to, Lord, somebody might be a family member of the one that opened the restaurant, but maybe this will help you. If it's on the menu, have it available. Amen. If it's online, have it in person. Yes. If it's up there, have it in there. I ordered banana pudding, I guess, a couple months ago. And I said, do you have any banana pudding? This one, you know you in trouble. She said to me, we don't have any, but I can make you some. How you going to make me banana pudding while I'm here? First thing I'm thinking is, the cookie's going to be hard. You got to make banana pudding a long enough time to let the cookies sit in it. So the wafers, name brand, vanilla wafers, cut corners, and use the off brand. I know what you did. I know what you did. Nothing tastes like vanilla wafers, but vanilla wafers. Nabisco. So here she came out 5 minutes later with banana pudding. Terrible. If you sell it, you ought to have it. You understand what I'm saying? But here's the problem. Man can't keep up in the assembly line with productivity because too many people want good stuff and eventually it's going to run out. Listen, if there's a good doctor in town, good luck at getting to see him. There's a reason why he's good and you can't get an appointment. He's so good, he doesn't have time for you. Walk in the barber shop, the barber that's always sitting in his chair can't cut hair. Ooh, God bless me today. You don't have no customers. The devil cursed you today. He doesn't have no customers, and in 30 minutes, you're going to know why. Okay? Because your wife is going to say, what happened to your hairline? It's way back here. And you say, he didn't have no customers. Yeah, he got you. You understand what I'm saying? See, the better you are, the busier you are, the less you can accomplish. I'm just saying all that to say I'm glad I serve a Jesus that can take care of your sickness, my problem, your bills, my situation, and everybody else at the same time. He can handle it. The clear awareness, his supreme power, his sovereign protection, and I'm about done. They saw these men. And guess what they saw? The fire had no power. Their hair wasn't sent. I like the specifics of the Bible. nor was an hair of their head singed. It didn't say they weren't burnt that bad. All they had was third degree burns. It said not an hair of their. Won't he do it? Wait, neither were the coats changed. How you gonna get thrown in the fire, the people that throw you in get burnt up, and you get thrown in the fire and your coat doesn't even change? And here's my favorite part. They ain't even smell like smoke. Excuse me. Nor was the smell of fire passed on them. For all y'all got that black Bible, you said, no, I'm reading it just how you said it, Pastor. You couldn't even smell smoke on them. Them brothers ain't even smell like smoke. Come on now. Listen. You can't go to Waffle House without smelling like smoke, even if you don't smoke. Come on now. You don't have to smoke to smell like smoke. You just got to go around people. You just got to walk through. Walk on a sidewalk past somebody that's smoking, and people say, what you been smoking? How you come out of a fire and not smell like smoke? I'll tell you, that's Jesus. And the credible announcement. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Sent his angel, delivered his servants, trusted in him, changed the king's word, yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any God except their own God. You want to talk about it? They lived so much for God that they not only changed the king's mind, they changed the king's word. Hey, watch this now. Christian people in a wicked culture lived so righteously that it made the king change the laws.
Well, I tell you, things are just so bad here. I just don't understand. We as Christians, they're doing everything against Christian people. What that got to do with how you live? It doesn't matter what the world says you're allowed to do. You don't have to do it. And if you live for God, could it be that living for God could make people change their minds? What a testimony. God's looking for somebody. May that somebody be you and me. Let's pray.